All right, if you have your Bible, I hope you do. Here and out there, hold it up. Let's make our confession together. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert, and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Give God a shout, sir. Y'all are awesome. Y'all are awesome. Praise the Lord. All right, we're talking about how to overcome loneliness. Pastor, why would you talk about that? Because it's very relevant right now. It's a felt need. It's a hurt. I don't want you to come to church here and online and VR and drive in and or church on demand and television. I don't want you to go to church and get nothing out of it. I don't want it to be above your head. I don't want to be talking about something. I don't want to scratch you where you're not itching. I want to be relevant. Y'all pray for me, right? That please pray for me. I need your prayers. Covet them. I need your prayers. But I went on the internet and I typed in, and I know you can find anything you want to on the internet. But I went on the internet and I typed in the most destructive emotion right now. Just type that in. The most destructive emotion right now. And you know what came up? Loneliness. Loneliness. And they had Psychology Today. Remember that magazine? All you who are in psychology or psychologists or psychiatrists, you know what I'm talking about. Then they had all kinds of excerpts from the magazine Psychology Today about how psychologists say that right now, see, I'm here to help you. Right now, the most destructive emotion is loneliness. And so that's why we're attacking it at Church on the Rock for the month of June. That's why that we're going to the Word. And what does the Word say about loneliness? Now, loneliness is different than being alone. You heard our sister say her husband graduated John, and she felt she went through that loneliness. And I like what he told her, that she wanted him, but she didn't need him. I like that. Because there's a difference between being alone and loneliness. You can be alone and not lonely. But yeah, you can be in a crowd and feel alone, right? It's two different things. So I went to the Oxford Dictionary. I looked up the word lonely. It means detached, isolated, separated. It sounds like the last 18 months of COVID. Isolated, separated, detached. This is Oxford Dictionary. Friendless, misunderstood. Any of those definitions ring a bell with you or friend or family member? Misunderstood. When we feel like no one understands us, we feel all alone. When we don't feel like we fit in, we're not accepted. That's why I said this is a no condemnation zone at Church on the Rock, because we're all in process. We're all learning. We're all growing. We're all dealing with stuff that we've never dealt with before. And so it's important then that we understand to define it. Yeah. Loneliness, but the Bible definition of loneliness is an inner feeling of emptiness. The Bible definition of loneliness is an inner, so it's an inside job. So in other words, getting a different job won't remove my loneliness. A different church won't remove my loneliness. A different husband or wife won't remove my loneliness. Because Bible definition of loneliness is an inside feeling of emptiness. An inner feeling of emptiness. Feeling empty and drained on the inside. So if it's an inside job, then I can buy material things. And God's not against us having things, just as long as things don't have us. But I can try to fill that void with things. That's why the song we sang, all the songs we sing go along with the message. It's called compound interest, okay? And so we sang that song how we found out that what we really need is Him and His presence. Because I found out, you found out, that a different boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, a different job, different career, a different church, a different city, a different state, doesn't remove the loneliness. Because that's all outward things that I'm trying to solve an inward problem with. I can't solve an inward problem through outward things. So loneliness is that inner feeling of emptiness. And we were made to have a relationship with God. So if I live my life without God, I always have a void and an emptiness. And even when I'm partying, even when I'm with a group and a crowd, I always feel lonely because of that emptiness on the inside that man or woman cannot fill. Man or woman cannot fill. It's too much pressure. I've been married 48 years. It's too much pressure on Kim to make her my source of meeting all my needs. She is not supposed to meet all my needs. And when we as men force on our mate to meet all of our needs, it's too much pressure. Too much pressure. So all my needs can only be met through a relationship with God. Last week, I gave you the takeaway, golden nugget. This will help you. This will solve loneliness. Is that intimacy is the key to loneliness. Intimacy. Get into God, and that will cure and help us overcome loneliness. It's an inside job, so I've got to have a relationship with God, not a ritual, not religion, not formality. But I've got to have a relationship with God in order to fill that void that I was created to know God. We were created to know God. And when we walk away from God, have no time for God, there'll always be that void. Watch this. There'll always be that void. Listen. Loneliness breeds unhealthy habits. Loneliness, if left unchecked, breeds unhealthy habits. I gave you the stats, and again, you and I both know you can find anything you want to find. But they said in the last 18 months, alcohol has tripled the sales in the U.S. Alcohol has tripled in the U.S. in the last... What is that? Loneliness. We couldn't get together, and we had to do it electronically only. And we that loneliness, what did it do? It bred, it created, it made unhealthy habits. Pornography is at an all-time scale in the U.S. What is that? That's an unhealthy habit that was bred by emptiness that pornography cannot fill. All right? Alcohol cannot fill. Drugs cannot fill. What is the only thing that will fill that emptiness on the inside is intimacy with the Lord. Am I communicating today? All right. So I really think, you pray for me, but I really think I'll make it simple and clear. You pray that I do. And I want to go to the Word. I love the Word. I know you love the Word. The Word, I tell you, He exalted His Word above His name. Did you know that? That's a scripture in Psalms. He exalts His Word above His name. So you promote the Word, and the Word will promote you. So let's go to what does the Bible say, and we're going to go, I love this in the Passion Translation. Look what Psalm 142, does God's Word relate or what? Look at Psalm 142, verse 3, the Passion Translation is on the screen. For when I was desperate, and I think you and I, we are the same. This last year, I've been desperate, desperate for God. How about you? Desperate not to waste the pain. Not to waste the isolation, not to waste the separation. I can't stand not being with y'all. Amen. I'm your pastor. I'm your shepherd. I that's the calling on my life. So when we couldn't meet, oh my goodness, face to face. And I know for a lot of us, we still can't. And we understand a lot of you locally, we know you can't come back because of health reasons right now. Some of our folks can't come back because their job won't let them. We get it. We understand. This is a no condemnation zone. Amen, everybody? So we're walking together. We're walking together. One of the things a pastor has that an evangelist doesn't have is patience. Oh, yeah. All right? So when I was desperate and I was overwhelmed, anybody overwhelmed besides me this last year? You lie, you fry now. Come on. Overwhelmed. And about to give up. Anybody about, I told you that if it wasn't for relationships in my life, I've already told you this. If it wasn't for strong relationships in my life, I would have given up the ministry. I would have said, I'm old enough to retire. I've reached all my goals. I actually have. I've reached all my goals in the natural that I set out to do at age 30 when we started this church. I've reached every goal. I could retire, but yet there's something on the inside that just won't let me do that. Because I believe the best is yet to come. I believe the longer you walk with God, the greater the anointing. So why retire when your greatest anointing is as you get younger? For when I was desperate, overwhelmed, about to give up, you, God, were the only one there to help me. Oh my goodness. You, God, gave me a way of escape. Now, I just want to say for those of you that are listening and watching and you feel like you're at a dead end and there's no way out and it's never going to change, those are lies from the devil. Those voices that say it's not going to get better, that's a lie from the devil. Those voices that say it's never going to change, that's a lie from the devil. Those voices that say you're never going to get your breakthrough, you're never going to get your miracle, it's never going to happen, those are lies from old dragon breath himself, right? Because my Bible says that with every temptation, listen, men, with every temptation, God gives us a way to escape. Oh, I like that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. You gave me a way of escape. Everybody say, way of escape. You gave me a way of escape from the hidden traps. Whoa, hidden traps of my enemies. For when I was desperate, I was overwhelmed. I wanted to give up. God, you were the only one there to help me. You gave me a way of escape from all of my enemies and the traps they laid for me. Look at this. Bible. The word. I looked to my left and my right to see if there was anybody there to help me, but there was nobody. There was nobody. There was nobody who would take notice of me. Remember, loneliness is feeling misunderstood and not accepted. But there was no one who could take notice of me. I have no hope of escape, and no one cares whether I live or die. Notice, he feels like no one understands. He feels like no one cares. He feels like no one is there. And how many of you know those are all lies of the devil? Really, they are. If you're a part of this community, I care about you. If you're a part of Church of the Rock community, we care about one another. If you're a part of this community, we get it. We understand. We may not be going through the same struggle, but we're in a storm just like you. So we get it. So we cover each other's back. We're in this thing together. We're walking through together. Now, the devil will tell us that the church doesn't care, that people don't care, that there's no one there. But you know, one time in the Old Testament, there was a prophet by the name of Elijah. He was feeling sorry for himself. He was running from Jezebel. And he said to God, "There's no one serving you." Self-pity, victim mentality. And God said, "No, you got that wrong. There's 7,000 more just like you out there." I want you to know right now in our culture, the way everything is, the devil will come and tell you that it's you're the only one. I'm here to tell you, you are not the only one. There's a remnant. There's an army. There are warriors in the spiritual realm, not physically. In the spiritual realm, they're rising up. They're seizing the opportunity, getting closer to God, intimate with God, greater anointing, greater revelation, like Kim said. Amen? And I believe Church on the Rock is a part of that warrior mentality. Not in the natural, okay, but in the spiritual realm. So to overcome loneliness, now you all owe me now at the Rock Express for this, okay? This is free counseling. To overcome loneliness, I need three things. Okay, a dog, a beer, and a car. No, to overcome loneliness, I just woke up somebody in Rhode Island. Hallelujah. To overcome loneliness, I need three things. I promise you this can change your life if you write it down and apply it. Number one, a plan to live for. To overcome loneliness. Remember I told you that this last 18 months, I've accomplished every goal I had at age 30 when we started this church, above and beyond. But yet I still can't retire. In fact, so for some of you it might be bad news, I ain't ever retiring, okay? So there's a plan from God, and it's still burning in my heart, bigger than ever before. You need a plan to live for, to overcome loneliness. Everybody say, a plan to live for. Do you have a plan? Is it from God? Is it crystal clear? Does it motivate you? You see, there comes a time in our life that self-motivation is not enough. There comes a time in our life that we just can't motivate ourselves to turn off the snooze button and get out of bed. What's going to drive us that day is discipline and not feeling. I'm saying a whole lot. What's going to drive us that day is discipline and not feeling. We can only be self-motivation only goes so far. Now, we need goals and we need dreams and we need a plan, yeah, to give us motivation. That's so true. But there are times in your life you just don't have the energy and the motivation to keep working on the marriage, to keep working on your walk with God, to keep working on habits. That's where it goes into discipline. Years ago, I went to Crenshaw Christian Center to spend time with Fred Price. I walked away with one statement. He said, discipline is the strength of life. Discipline is the strength of life. I never forgot it. Discipline is the strength of life. Pastor, are you disciplined? No way, no way, but I'm working on it and you're praying for me. Amen? So there comes a time. Now, where are you going with this? Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, people perish. One translation says, without a vision, you have no boundaries. Without a vision, you have no discipline. There comes a time in my life that I show up on Sunday out of discipline for you and the call of God on this church. There have been times in the last 18 months that I felt terrible physically, dealing with symptoms, not sharing with anybody, not COVID, but other stuff. What got me here? Discipline. Where did I get that? Vision. Where did I get that? The call of God on this church. You need to overcome loneliness, a plan to live for. Number two, you need a people to live with. Glory to God. I sure do love y'all. You need a people to live with. You're my kind of people. And the people who come and stick and stay with us here and around the world, why? Like values, like philosophy, like vision. We had a new family join last week, our church. They came, they joined, they said they're coming back, making this their church family, going through a growth track. And they said, because, this is their words, not mine, because of the diversity of age and color at Church on the Rock, we felt right at home. What is that? What are they saying? Those people are our kind of people. If I'm going to overcome loneliness, I need a plan to live for. I need a people to live with. Can you say that with me, please? A people to live with. We need one another. It's all about what? Not things, but relationships. It really is. It really is. It really is. And number three, a presence to live in. I'll start with the letter P. Why do you do that? It's a teaching technique. A presence to live in. The law of association, you memorize better when they all start with the same letter. You thought I was weird? Well, I am weird. Ask Pastor Kim. But it's a teaching technique, okay? It's called the law of memorization. You tend to memorize better if something starts with the first letter all the same. A presence to live in. So we need a plan to live for, a people to live with, and a presence. And what is that? The presence of God. Because what will cure loneliness? It's an inside feeling of emptiness, intimacy with God, a presence to live in. Hallelujah. In his presence is fullness of murmuring. Oh, no. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. So what I want to work on today is, how do I get into his presence? How do I get into his presence? Now, it's real important. Smith Wigglesworth said this, that you get into the spirit by triggering things in the natural. You trigger it in the natural to get into the spiritual. Because I don't understand, Pastor, there are a lot of times we don't feel like going to church, paying our tithes, serving, sharing, small group, home group. We don't feel like it. But when you go ahead and do it for your family and the next generation, then you feel good after you did it. You're glad you did it. You triggered something in the spiritual by doing something in the natural. You start off in the flesh and you end up in the spirit. That's powerful. All right? So how do I get into the presence of God? I'm glad y'all asked that question. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Whoa! Powerful. Where can I go from your spirit? Capital S is the Holy Spirit. Where can I flee from your presence? This is David, the psalmist, saying that everywhere I go, your presence goes with me. Now, you have to understand, it's dimensional, right? The presence of God is in us. The presence of God is with us. And then the presence of God comes upon us. Three dimensions, three different relationships. The presence of God is in us. The presence of God goes with us, and the presence of God, like Samson, will come on you from time to time. All right? Three-dimensional. So where can I flee from you? He's saying, everywhere I go, God, you're there. Well, Pastor, I go to work, I go to school, I walk my dog in the neighborhood, and I don't feel God. What do I do? Well, right now, y'all got smartphones and computers, and guess what? In this room, there's all kinds of activity, right? And technology. There's all kinds of waves. There's all kinds of words. Yeah, words going through the air. There's all kinds of stuff happening in the air, but yet you don't feel it and you don't hear it, even though it's there all the time, until you tune in. Everyone say, tune in. It's there all the time with smartphones and computers and laptops and iPods and iPads and in the air at your house, in your garage, in the backyard, in your neighborhood. Oh my goodness, in this neighborhood right now, in the air, there's all kinds of current of words, activity, of veins of technology. It's there. Well, how come I don't hear anything? Because you haven't tuned into the right channel. God's everywhere. So how do I tap into his presence? I have to learn how to tune. I have to learn how to tune. I have to learn how to do things in the natural that trigger the supernatural. I have to learn how to do that. So I'm going to share that with you for the next few minutes. How do I recognize his presence? A lot of people don't even know how to recognize the presence of God. Answering these questions. How do I tune into his presence? How do I receive his presence? And here's our takeaways, all right? Psalm 27, verse 4. I love this. Psalm 27, verse 4. Here's the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. Look at priority. One thing. Everybody say one thing. There's a book out there called One Thing. It's a good business book. It's The Power of Focus. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek. What does he want more than anything else? To be in the presence of God. Is that our priority on Monday morning? It should be. One thing. Everybody say one thing. Not my emails, not my texts, not Facebook, not a social media, not all those things. They're important, but it shouldn't be the most important. It shouldn't be the first thing. The first thing, if I want to get rid of loneliness, I need a presence to live in. Because in his presence is fullness. 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 Of joy. Notice, complete. All my needs are met in his presence. One thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek, I will inquire, I will consistently require that I dwell in the house of the Lord in his what? Presence. Everyone say that? In his presence. Everybody at home, in his presence. The most important thing you need as a parent is the presence of God. Because in his presence, you'll get parenting skills. Business leader, the most important thing you need is the presence of God. To know who to hire, not to hire, what to buy, what not to buy, the vendor to use, the location. You need revelation. You need wisdom. It comes from His presence. I need a presence to live in. It will get rid of emptiness and loneliness. I have to desire His presence. Most people don't. I have to desire His presence. In His presence, some of the days of my life. Just on Sunday or Saturday. So here we go. Priority for a Christian in 2021. Every day of our life, not just Sunday or Saturday or church on demand or wherever you go to church. And I'm just glad you're going, okay? No condemnation zone at Church on the Rock. This is unusual times. It calls for unusual leadership, all right? So a priority should be, if I want my home well, my health well, my finances, my resources, my business, my investments, then I'm going to make it a priority. The first thing is the first thing, get in God's presence. First thing. To behold and gaze upon His beauty. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, you know what? I got those doodads right now. I feel Him in my feet. I can't do it, Neil. I wish I could do what you could do. I feel Him in my... Ooh, oh, praise God. To behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness. Don't miss this now. Don't get loose in the language. Don't lose it in the language. I get in His presence every day of my life. To behold and gaze the beauty, the attractiveness, the delight of His loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate and consider and inquire in His temple. Whoa. How do I get in His presence? By looking at His character. By thinking, John Mason wrote a book. He put one of my one-liners in the book, Stop and Look at the Size of God Every Day. What is that? Stopping and meditating and getting your eyes off your problem and getting your eyes on God. And what will happen? You'll release the presence of God in your life. And what will that do? That will cure what ails us. That will help us overcome loneliness. Am I saying it simple enough? Am I connecting with you today? So what do you? You stop and look at the size of your God. You stop and look at the character of God. God is faithful. God is kind. God is love. God is merciful. God is forgiving. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Rapha. You look at the names of God. What will that do? According to this verse, it will release God's presence in your house, in your car, or your hut on the beach. We had people on vacation. We had them sending us their vacation from West Palm Beach, from the islands down south the last couple of weeks. And you know, that's why I say, if you're in a hut on a beach, stop today and look at the presence of God, and the beach will be invaded by the presence of God. And what looks so big will become so small in your eyes, in Jesus' name. All right? So Psalm 27:4, Psalm 27:8. Make it a priority. Everyone say priority. Make it a priority to get in God's presence, because if I'm going to overcome loneliness, I need a plan to live for. I need a people to live with, and I need a presence to live in. And most people don't give a hoot about this, all right? That's why they have all these addictive habits. Their life is a mess. Their life is going in the wrong direction. Their marriage, their children, their health, their peace of mind. Why? Because they won't pay attention and give attention to what God's word is saying. Apply it and grow. You have said, seek my face. I've got to desire God. Seek my face, inquire, and require. Here it is again. Family, do you see this? As my presence is not just a luxury, not just on Sunday, not just when I feel like it, not a foxhole prayer, but look, as your number one vital need. I'm helping you today. I'm giving you the answer for your marital problems, physical problems, financial problems, relational problems, kids' problems, teenage problems. I'm giving you the answer for the struggle with depression, oppression, alcohol, pornography. I'm giving you the answer. I tell you, I'm giving you the answer from the Word of God. The vital need that we need today is intimacy, is we need a presence to live in. That's our number one need. It's not getting high. It's not getting drunk. It's not going there. It's not buying that. It's not chasing this. It's not chasing that. What is it? It's chasing God. It's being a God chaser. My presence is your vital need. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek. Are we seeking the presence of God? I think we are, Church on the Rock. I'm so proud of you. As Isaiah comes out, inquire for and require out of necessity. Whoo, this is my biggest need today. I know it's your biggest need today. It's because if I can get you in the, show you how to get in the presence of God, everything big becomes small. In Jesus' name, all your enemies melt away like wax. You get a different perspective. My outlook determines my outcome. I will seek, inquire for, require out of necessity and on the authority of your word. Can I share with you the most powerful prayer you're ever going to pray? It's not a begging prayer. It's not a pleading prayer. It's not a crying prayer. It's not even praying in the spirit, which is the perfect prayer. But the most powerful prayer we can ever pray is when you pray God's word. When you pray God's word. The Bible says in John 15, 7, where does that say that, Pastor? John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then pray and you'll get what you ask for. The most powerful prayer is not a begging, pleading, crying, bitter, angry prayer. It's not even praying in the spirit. That's the perfect prayer. That the most powerful prayer is when you take scripture and you pray it. That's the most powerful prayer. So based on the authority of God's word, I'm hustling. Can I have just a couple? Oh boy. How do I get in his presence? I guess we'll continue this next week. Would that be all right? Really, we're out of time. Praise the Lord. To be continued, same bat time, same bat channel. Y'all got to forgive me, right? Because I'm conscious of your time. Did y'all get something today? We'll continue next week. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all so good. I can just feel God's moving in your life, your family. Seriously, our church is a community. This is going to be the best summer of your life. Let's all stand together. Prayer partners coming to the front. Social distancing. We care about what you care about. We're here for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to come back to him today, have a new relationship with him today, I want us to pray this prayer together. We're going to pray it right now. Everybody here, everybody online, let's bow our heads. As the prayer team comes forward, let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we rejoice now? Y'all look up. Rejoice with heaven. Amen.
Thanks for watching this week's message. Here at Church on the Rock, our purpose is to help you know God better. And one of those ways is through Growth Track. We have a 4-step process online that you can take anytime, or maybe consider joining us in person. But to take your next step and to find out all the incredible things we have to offer here at Church on the Rock, I encourage you to go over to cotr.org/online, or you can email us at online@cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.